Breaking news tonight, the object floating over the northern U.S. Is it a Chinese spy balloon? What the Pentagon.
It was the beginning of February, and in the United States, a balloon had set off a media storm.
A Chinese spy balloon sailing over America.
An enormous spy balloon.
Where is the balloon right now?
The Pentagon believes the Chinese were not only trying to watch the U.S., but listen too.
By all measures, this was a news story worth covering. At a time of high tension with the United States, the Chinese had floated not one, but up to four spy balloons into American airspace. The reporting was legitimate. The breathlessness and the hysteria were not.
Experts say the spy balloon has a future and possibly an ominous one. They say it could be used as a weapons platform.
There was a lot of coverage about the spy balloon saga in the United States. You know, by any objective standard, it might not be the most important story about China of the day, but that's what the public pays attention to.
In terms of this balloon, are we in danger at present?
Right now? We're in the throes of moral panic about China. We are taking this a challenge, an issue that we should certainly be all very thoughtful about, but blowing it up and inflating it into an existential threat. We're freaking out about a spy balloon. We're falling over one another to see who can just be more sort of vociferously critical.
The saga of the spy balloon was a textbook example of how one misadventure by either side in the Sino-American Cold War could be blown out of proportion. The Chinese didn't help matters. Both China and the United States have used spy balloons in the past against each other and many other countries. The February balloons, though, were badly mistimed.
At this point, China-U.S. relations are at a low ebb. There's a lack of trust. Both sides believe that the other one is up to no good, and this prevents any kind of clear communication. The United States is on a mission to contain China geopolitically and economically. China is not a passive player in this. China is determined not to let that happen, and they're not going to be put off by the U.S.
The United States and China have been circling each other for decades. It started with the declaration of China as a communist nation in 1949, its immediate annexation of Tibet, the U.S.'s war in Korea in the 1950s, all of which coincided with a nuclear arms race. There were bilateral spectacles, like the so-called ping-pong diplomacy of the 1970s. In 1972, Richard Nixon became the first U.S. president to visit communist China. The Americans were already in a Cold War with the Soviet Union, and Nixon wasn't looking for another fight. In the 50 years since, there have been flashpoints, such as the Tiananmen Square massacre in 1989, and the mistaken 1999 NATO bombing of the Chinese embassy in Belgrade.
It's a tragedy, and it was an accident.
Then came a period of increased trade following communist China's embrace of its own unique form of capitalism. China grew increasingly assured as a global power, and the bumps in the Sino-American road started to grow larger.
We had the horrible plague come in from China. Boy, oh boy, what they cost the world.
The COVID-19 pandemic saw a decidedly undiplomatic Donald Trump squaring up with a resolutely authoritarian Xi Jinping. And the war of words worsened, with media outlets on each side echoing Washington and Beijing.
Chinese government officials now installing fences in Shanghai, blocking people from leaving their homes for fear that they'll spread COVID.
On American airwaves, one key misunderstanding keeps cropping up.
There's this notion that the voice of Xi Jinping controls everything in China, that his imprimatur has to be on everything. And this is nonsense.
All you have to do is go on Chinese social media to understand that. Every day, there are all sorts of questions in China. You can express what you want individually on social media. But if you say to people, let's get together and tell them accountable, if you start stirring up what the government considers to be trouble, you're going to be in trouble.
I think there's a really predominant idea in the United States, and it's helped along by the American media narrative on China, that it's a one-man state. And before I suggest why that might not be entirely accurate, I think it's important to place the blame pretty squarely on China for this. China deliberately projects that image. It doesn't want ever to show any cracks in the facade. It doesn't want to show multiplicity of voices. It's not a monolith. It's an enormously complex society with many layers of government where there are a lot of people who quietly or otherwise have dissenting, differing views. It's incumbent on us as part of the media to try to understand that.
That is easier said than done. Reporting in China is difficult. The official attitude towards foreign media has moved from wariness and caution to outright hostility. The high point of Western media presence in China was during the 2008 Beijing Olympics, when the country went through a period of uncharacteristic openness. Some strong reporting came out at that time, and it energized journalism, both domestic and foreign, from China. Things look very different now.
A lot of journalists, especially journalists from the United States, face visa restrictions, surveillance in China, harassment from the police, and sometimes expulsion from the country. The many U.S. journalists I talk to truly want to understand the country better and tell the story about the country. Unfortunately, even their benign motives are frequently perceived as a threat to the Chinese national security.
When journalists go out in the field, they're not met with happiness.
I mean, the local authorities show up and they do everything they can to prevent you from getting a story. Why? Are they hiding something? No, they're afraid. Your career in government can be ruined by one bad story. There aren't second chances in China.
So you have a situation where on one side there are a lot of negative stories. This has alerted the local officials and they become afraid. So once again, an issue of trust.
Given the restrictions on Chinese journalists when it comes to reporting bad news domestically, they have a pretty free hand when it comes to the United States. Across the domestic state TV network, CCTV, and the international broadcaster, CGTN, there's a distinct hint of schadenfreude in reporting trouble in the United States.
In Chinese state media, the focus is on sort of social issues, gun violence, social disturbance in the United States, drug problems, suicide rates, etc., etc.
在美国，使用改装枪支正在变得越来越普遍。
There's also a lot of stories about the United States' double standard when it comes to international affairs, right? What is it about the United States to accuse other countries of violating human rights while there are grave human rights problems in the United States?
我不能呼吸，在美国警察执法记录仪画面中，这样绝望的呼喊一次次传来，暴露了美国种族主义血淋淋的现实。
One of the things that we don't understand about Chinese media is that most of it is also commercially driven. They are after attention, advertising dollars. They're not going to tell the story of ordinary, you know, firemen rescuing kittens in Iowa. They're going to talk about, you know, corrupt politicians, about school shootings, about black Americans being gunned down by white cops.
The Sino-American face-off was a long time coming. An ascendant and aggressive China and a belligerent America have been on a collision course for a while. With each disagreement and each misunderstanding, the opportunities for talking to each other are getting narrower. Instead, the two countries are talking at each other, and often at cross purposes.
Thanks for watching. If you'd like to see more media analysis on the US, Taiwan, China, or anywhere across the globe, we have plenty to offer. Just click here.